Welcome, everyone, to We're Getting a Dog.
Welcome back, everybody. Sorry for the weird little break in there. We had our roof being redone in our apartment building.
Yeah, it's still being worked on, but in a different part of the building.
Yeah.
So hopefully no noise will be coming through.
Hopefully. And we're still kind of like struggling with, they took out our AC for it, and we don't have AC still. So
it's half back, kind
it's
of.
It's half back, yeah. It like kind of comes and goes.
Well, literally, it's more like 1/8 back, because I put my hand over the vent and it's almost completely nothing. And then at the very end of the vent,
yeah,
feel some cold air.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Hopefully we get that fixed, but it's not too miserable now, though. It's,
oh, yeah.
It's cooled down, which is weird.
We got 1/8 AC, so
yeah,
it's better than
quarter
nothing.
Quarter ear, 1/8 AC, geez. But anyway, so we are back for you this week in, well, it's Dylan's episode, actually. I don't know why I'm talking.
We've been here, it's been a few weeks since we actually recorded.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we had our interview episode come out.
Yeah, that was fun.
Which was nice, yeah. But what breed are we covering? We're back to an old school episode.
We're covering the Yorkshire Terrier.
Okay.
Just when you thought we had no little dogs left.
I mean,
dig deep on.
We're really hitting the terriers hard this season.
Well, there's a lot of terriers out there.
That's true.
So I guess we've brushed on the history of the terrier itself quite a bit.
Yes.
And get more into specifics about the Yorkie. So the height, 7 to 8 inches. Weight, 7 pounds. And the standard says it just must not exceed 7 pounds.
Well, okay, so very little dog.
Yeah, it can be very little and still officially standard, which some people have actually cited as an issue, that some breeders, you know,
sure,
can like try to make them too small.
Like the teacup Yorkie.
Yeah. Yeah, and the life expectancy is 11 to 15 years. Pretty common for such a little dog.
Sure.
Long life. The general appearance in the AKC standard, as always, is as follows. That of a long-haired toy terrier, whose blue and tan coat is parted on the face and from the base of the skull to the end of the tail and hangs evenly and quite straight down each side of body.
That's very British sounding.
Do you think I could offer some freelance editing for the AKC?
It's not the AKC, though. It's the breed clubs that write standards.
Well, I don't know. It's in the official AKC standard, so...
I am the freelance editor in the house, too. I actually, like, do that for work, so...
I'll just put a the in between of and body at the end there. Of the body. Each side of body. There's no way that's right. Unless body means something else in dog terms.
No, they probably just don't know how to use prepositional phrasing.
Long-haired toy terrier. Blue and tan coat. Parted on the face. From the base of the skull. To the end of the tail. And hangs evenly and quite straight. Down each side of the body. Just to recap that run-on sentence.
Yeah. The standards are full of run-on sentences. We've talked at length on this show about how grammatically incorrect most of the breed standards are.
Yeah. But yeah, hair going all the way down the sides of the body is a mark of a show Yorkie.
Mm.
A lot of people keep their Yorkies cut much shorter.
Right.
The body is neat, compact, and well-proportioned. See, that's a very short sentence. Nice. The dog's high head carriage and confident manner should give the appearance of vigor and self-importance.
Self-importance is important for this dog breed.
Very much, yeah. A lot of small dogs seem very self-important. And an interesting thing about the AKC standard for this dog, it's less than a page long.
Well, for such a little dog, I can't imagine you have to head describe it that much.
Right, it's by the inch.
Yeah.
You need to describe head to toe. So the coat is described as quality, texture, and quantity are of prime importance. Hair is glossy, fine, and silky in texture. Coat on the body is moderately long and perfectly straight, not wavy.
Mm.
It may be trimmed to floor length to give ease of movement and a neater appearance, if desired. Yeah, just right to the floor so it's easy to move around.
Right.
Like a mop.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's any longer than that, it'd just be tripping over itself.
Right.
The fall on the head is long, tied with one bow in the center of head, or parted in the middle and tied with two bows.
Okay.
A bow is required. At least one bow.
For the show standard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to keep the hair out of the face because it's so long.
Sure.
Hair on muzzle is very long. Hair should be trimmed short on tips of ears and may be trimmed on feet to give them a neat appearance.
They look so ridiculous. I just pulled a picture up of the show Yorkie.
Yeah, photos there. Trimmed Yorkie, which most people would have in the show Yorkie.
Yeah. And besides this woman's blazer in the photo, which is very showy, It's like ancient Egypt meets chunky jewelry.
Yeah, but the Yorkie's bow. It's
the Yorkie's bow is pretty nice. I didn't realize that the bow was a requirement. That's kind of interesting to me. But they are very regal looking in a way.
Yeah, definitely very common. Well, yeah, sort of like, you know, Lhasa Apso, Shih Tzu kind of show dog look, but
for sure,
very straight hair. So almost half the standard is dedicated to the colors of the Yorkie. The black, tan, and blue coat is one of the breed's most distinguishing features, and the standard goes into great detail over how every part of the dog is colored and shaded.
I didn't realize that blue was a part of their coloring. I thought they were just kind of a silvery gray with some light tan.
Yeah, I think the blue is like, maybe like the grayer parts are what they call
blue. I mean, yeah. I know like with blue dogs in particular, it's like a very specific shade of like whitish gray. And when it catches light, it has like a bluish hue to it.
Yeah. And you can see that like around the like top of the head and like the neck.
Yeah.
In the long haired Yorkie, it's kind of harder. But
I think it's easier to see in the long haired Yorkie than the short haired. Yeah.
I can see it at the end of the tail there. Yeah.
Sure.
The AKC standard also requires a docked tail. However, this is an English breed, and in the UK, tail docking is illegal, unless deemed medically necessary, and has been since 2006.
Interesting.
So yeah, in their homeland, no longer being docked. But
but it's still part of the American standard.
Yeah. But, you know, of course, owners don't have to adhere to the standard. Like, they don't have to keep the hair long either.
Right.
The AKC's website describes the Yorkie's temperament as tenacious, feisty, brave, and sometimes bossy. The Yorkie exhibits all the traits
sometimes
of a true
bossy
terrier.
I think terriers are always bossy. Always.
Traits of a true terrier. Often named the most popular dog breed in various American cities, Yorkies pack lots of big town attitude into a small but self-important package. They are favorites of urbanites the world over. Yorkies are long-lived and hypoallergenic. Now, the coat's more like human hair, actually, than animal fur. And they make fine little watchdogs. A true personality breed, proving years of laugh, love, and close companionship.
Oh, that's very cute.
Yeah. Makes them definitely sound like a great breed for us, you know, looking for a city dog.
Sure. They're so small, though. Like, they're terrifyingly little to me.
Well, yeah. One of the smallest there is. But, you know, that makes small spaces feel big for them.
I suppose. But, God, they're just so easy to trip over. And what if they get stuck in something, like, or they get lost?
Well,
and
they'll make a lot of noise.
That's true.
Speaking of which, I have a video of their bark.
He's running around, like, zooming. Terriers are so funny.
Oh, yeah, and I found this video on, like, a second channel of Soundly Awake, who's, like, really, you know, old-school YouTuber that I watched. Anyway, yeah, Yorkies can be very noisy.
For sure.
And just energetic.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, my mom has Moose, who is a Snarky.
Yeah, he does have a really Yorkie look to him.
He does have a Yorkie look, but he has a Schnauzer bark.
And he's, like, bigger.
It's the Schnauzer, honestly, that gets him to that size. But he is smaller than a miniature Schnauzer, though. Like, in body,
definitely.
So thin.
Yeah,
but
in between.
Yeah, I mean, they're cute little dogs. I don't know. Terriers have to grow on me for some reason. I never have an easy time just automatically liking a terrier. It's hounds and labs that I'm automatically attracted towards. Yeah.
Well, my introduction to the Yorkie was in a little game called Nintendogs for the Nintendog DS. I think I had Chihuahuan Friends game, which included Chihuahuas, German Shepherds, Boxers, Cavalier King Charles Spaniels, Shetland Sheepdogs, and Yorkies.
Yeah, I remember because they look like realistically creepy.
Yeah, I have a photo of the Nintendog Yorkie as well. Which doesn't quite look much like a Yorkie. And it's especially noted it's a short-haired Yorkie.
And
you
it's
can
also,
take it to dog shows.
It's also
game.
Brown.
Yeah, the coloring's not quite right either, but still cute.
It has a bow.
Cute for what, 2006 graphics or whatever it came out?
I thought it was more like 2009. I don't know. I haven't, like I said, we were not really a Nintendo family.
Well, I only remember the Yorkie in the game because it was my favorite dog. Just playing a lot of frisbee and stuff. There wasn't much to do other than, like, buy hats for your dog and enter it in the same competitions, which are, like, little mini games.
Well, you know, yeah.
But a Yorkie and a top hat, pretty cute.
Pretty cute, pretty dapper.
So for those who doubt this game's relevance, this was the second best-selling game for the Nintendog DS.
You mean the Nintendo DS?
If you want to call it that.
It's the Nintendo DS.
And the DS is the second best-selling console ever.
I did know that.
Just slightly behind PlayStation 2.
Yes, I did know that.
So we're talking about one of the most popular games of all time.
Well, do you consider the DS a console or is it a handheld? Because I consider those different
console.
Things. Well, like, I suppose, like when you're looking at you sales figures for video game devices.
You still pop a game in.
True. I guess, like, I think of the PS2 as a different kind of console because you have to hook it up to a TV. And, like, you play with a controller rather than the whole thing is, like, a unibody experience.
Oh, yeah. It's just the TV being in the controller, basically.
I don't know. I do remember that the DS was, like, a massive best. I mean, everyone had a DS.
Yeah.
Like,
I loved my DS.
I did.
Animal Crossing, Mario Kart.
I, like, missed. It's weird. I feel like, given my age. So, I was born in 1993. And so, I grew up with PlayStation 1 games and I loved it, and then PS2 advanced it. I never got into handhelds, or like when the Wii came out, I wasn't super into that. Like, I think I kind of missed the cusp of the more like DS. I had a Game Boy, but I didn't like it as much. Like, I took it on road trips. So for me, I don't know. I guess consoles to me are like Xbox, PlayStation, you know, Sega, you know, all those, but.
Well, sure.
To each their own. Anyway, dogs.
So anyway, I looked it up. Nintendogs is actually the 44th best-selling video game ever.
That makes sense, though.
Almost 24 million copies sold. Right between Super Mario Odyssey and the original...
24 million Yorkies and Top Hats.
Right between Super Mario Odyssey and the original Sonic the Hedgehog.
Wow, that's low for the original Sonic the Hedgehog. That's a really good game.
Yeah, it's the top 50 best-selling games ever.
I thought
that
would be like in the top 20.
Still the 80s, I think, when it came out.
So it's not even that popular of a game in this first go-around, and they still insist on making weird movies out of it.
That's true, but it's a lasting property. Where's the Nintendog movie?
I don't know. I never understood the obsession with Sonic the Hedgehog movies. It's like this game hasn't been relevant in a long time.
I think it was just that one movie.
But still,
up until that
who
one
in a
movie,
boardroom was like, you know who was more popular than Crash Bandicoot? Sonic the Hedgehog. They should have made a Crash Bandicoot movie.
That would have just been insane.
That's the name of the games. Insane. Like, that's the name of the enemy. Sorry. I thought you were making a pun.
Well, I accidentally did.
You
then.
Did. Anyways.
So, Nintendogs describes the Yorkshire... Yeah, we're still not off Nintendogs,
yeah,
by the way.
Sorry.
Remember, best-selling games of all time. So, the Nintendogs game describes the Yorkie as, this English breed is commonly called a Yorkie and is also nicknamed the Walking Jewel.
Is it?
When researching the term the Walking Jewel, a few things come up. An Assassin's Creed fanfiction, a small gold turtle... that moves like a wind-up toy, so it's literally a walking jewel. And then a bunch of stuff about Nintendogs.
So it was coined by the game.
I don't know if it was a translation thing. It's like, I don't know, something they call them in Japan, maybe?
Ah.
So I can only find two non-Nintendog sources that refer to it. The Yorkies as the walking jewel.
Mm-hmm.
A Dogster article from 2010 and a Yorkie Talk forum post in 2006. But the game came out in 2005.
Okay.
So I guess they coined the term walking jewel, but it's out there now.
Well,
at least two other places.
Yep, going strong for 17 years as the term that no one's ever heard of.
So let's take a break, and when we come back, let's talk about the history of the walking jewel.
Don't try to make it a thing now.
Nintendog's already out there. It's made.
Hello, listeners. Wesley here to talk to you a little bit about how you can support this show. For each episode of all of our podcasts here at Arcadia, we spend our own money on books, articles, and other materials so that we can bring you podcasts that are thoroughly researched and fact-checked. All of the hosts and producers of these shows also work full-time jobs in addition to the podcast so that we can support this passion we all share. If you'd like to support us at We're Getting a Dog, as well as the other podcasts in the Arcadia Podcast Network, head on over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/We're Getting a Dog, or our website,
WhereGettingADog.com/support. For as low as $2 per month, you can get access a day early to every new episode of We're Getting a Dog and other Arcadia Podcast Network shows, such as Coffee's On and Good Food for Bad Friends. And at higher levels, you can get one-of-a-kind swag. Thank you for supporting the Arcadia Podcast Network and for listening to this podcast. Now back to the show.
And we're back with the Yorkie's history.
Mm-hmm.
So the origins of the Yorkshire Terrier take us to the northern English county of Yorkshire.
That's shocking.
And the neighboring county of Lancashire.
That's even, well, okay.
So it's said that in the mid-1800s, Scottish weavers moved to England and brought Scottish terriers with them. Now, not the Scottish Terrier breed. Just terriers from Scotland.
Yeah, we've been over this. We went over this in the first episode of this season.
It's common confusion.
Yeah, just Scottish terriers.
Too many dogs with generic names. So some breeds thought to be involved in the Yorkie's genetic mix are the Dandie Dinmont and the Skye Terrier.
Okay. So the Highland, they're like a Highland Terrier group almost.
Oh, yeah.
Or descendant of.
Right, yeah. There's a Highland Terriers, mm-hmm. Scottish Terriers. Mm-hmm. So several breeds involved are now extinct, including the Paisley Terrier, also known as the Clydesdale Terrier.
Hmm.
So it's, yeah, extinct breeds similar to the Yorkie.
Okay.
Probably just larger. So Scottish weavers were proud of their feisty little dogs. Their small size was perfect for chasing rodents through the textile mills. Jokes were made about the Yorkie's silky hair, about, like, being made by the weavers.
Okay.
People were so clever back then.
Yeah, it was a simpler time.
This region of northern England was also...
Sorry. Could you just imagine, like, going in and it's like, hey, you know what? The dog's hair is made by the weavers. Like, if you said that out of context today, so it'd be like, what?
quite wet. Quite funny. Yes.
Quite funny. Yeah, the weavers make it.
Yes. It works in the weavers' mill. See.
Work at the textile mill.
So this region of northern England was also a major mining area at the time. So Yorkies also worked catching varmint down in the coal mines.
Is it vermin? I'm pretty sure it's vermin.
I thought it was varmint.
Varmint is how, what's his face in the Looney Tunes says it.
Well, Yosemite Sam was down there in the mines.
Yeah, Yosemite. Is it Yosemite Sam?
Yeah.
I have to see it now. Oh, yeah. I loved Yosemite Sam. He was one of my favorite. That was my impression, by the way.
You know, it's the most exhausting voice for Mel Blanc to do. He had to do it at the end of his recording sessions every time and take a break for a couple days. Little fun voice acting fact.
Yeah, I love Yosemite Sam, but it is vermin.
Isn't varmint a word, too?
Var.
Troublesome wild animal.
Varmint. It's an informal dialect version that comes from vermin.
Well, I'm a man of the people.
Okay.
I'm an informal guy.
The Oxford English Dictionary clearly says derivative of vermin.
Well, sure. I never said it wasn't derivative.
Or derived from vermin. Sorry, I used the wrong form.
So I've been calling them Yorkies up until this point in the history portion. But I should mention that at this point, they hadn't yet adopted that name. For the first few years in England, this breed was known as the Broken-Haired Scotch Terrier.
Oh, well, original. Why broken-haired? Is that like the part down the middle?
Probably, yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah, I wasn't sure what broken-haired was supposed to mean, but yeah, it was parted there.
That's so what my
that
guess would
be. The break.
That's my guess, at least. But, okay, so it's still considered a Scotch Terrier at this point.
Shortly after these dogs arrived in England, broken-haired Scotch Terriers were put into dog shows. In the 1860s, one show dog helped define the breed and boost its notoriety. I'm referring to the father of all Yorkies, Huddersfield Ben. Much of what defines Yorkies came from Ben, although he was slightly larger than the 7-pound standard we see today.
He looks so ridiculous in this illustration.
Though he did sire a lot of dogs that were less than 7 pounds.
He looks like he's wearing a wig in this illustration. Like someone plopped just a sad bob wig on his face and they're like, smile.
What? Where?
That's so, and you can see his little ears. They look like little devil horns.
Yeah, very pointy. Owned by Yorkshire woman Mary Ann Foster, Huddersfield Ben won over 70 dog shows and ratting competitions.
He won over 70 drag shows.
That wig. This success made a name for the Yorkie, which at the time was a very new breed. Yorkies became fashionable pets to own in Victorian England, as many toy dogs were at the time.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
Their long silky coat was distinct and it became a symbol of wealth.
Ooh.
Look at my dog's beautiful long locks.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, in the Victorian era, the middle class had money to burn. So I bet if you had a Yorkie, you were like highfalutin.
Yeah. And it still got the rats.
Yeah, yeah, true. Because this is the Victorian era. This is not a modern day.
Yeah. The name Yorkshire Terrier was officially adopted in 1870 after reporter Angus Sutherland wrote an opinion in the Field magazine. Sutherland wrote, "They ought no longer be called Scotch Terriers, but Yorkshire Terriers, for having been so improved here."
We're never going to get British Patreon members when we do these accents. But I do appreciate it.
You should get an accent coach.
I took dialects, and I didn't do very well.
Well, I wasn't going for modern day British, obviously. This is 19th century British.
This is like it's 19th century cartoon British.
See, some British, they don't even know what accents were like back then. So,
my God.
I've studied. The Yorkie made its way to the U.S. in the 1870s and was officially recognized by the AKC in 1885.
It's pretty early on.
Yeah, one of the first groups of breeds. I think the same time the Beagle was. Oddly enough, that was a year before the Kennel Club of England recognized the breed in 1886.
Hmm.
So yeah, the Americans officially recognized Yorkies first.
Well, go us.
USA. So we're going to jump ahead to World War II now to talk about one incredible Yorkie named Smokey. Got a photo of Smokey. Just adorable.
Ah.
Sitting in a helmet.
Oh my God.
Oh, I was amazed by the sheer impact this little dog had on the world. In 1944, Smokey was found in an abandoned foxhole in New Guinea by an American soldier. After finding out the dog didn't respond to English or Japanese commands, he wasn't sure who the dog belonged to. He sold Smokey to Corporal William Wynne for £2. Smokey traveled everywhere with Wynne, facing harsh conditions in the New Guinea jungle and rock islands. Smokey even ran on coral for months without any damage to her paws.
Or wow.
It's not significant the way it did to other war dogs.
Yeah.
Unlike other official military dogs, Smokey didn't have access to any veterinary care or dog food. Wynne would just share his rations with her. Despite this, Smokey never got sick. Smokey was credited with 12 combat missions, awarded 8 battle stars, survived 150 air raids in New Guinea, a typhoon in Okinawa.
Wow.
And yeah, a whole lot more. Wynne credits Smokey with saving his life on board a transit ship. Smokey warned him of oncoming fire and got him to duck, while 8 men beside him were all hit. Credited this dog with saving his life.
Mm.
Smokey's most famous feat in World War II came when Allied troops were building an air base in northern Philippines. A telegraph wire had to be sent through a 70-foot-long pipe that was only 8 inches in diameter. Soil had sifted into the pipe as well, leaving parts of it only 4 inches.
Mm-hmm.
This was expected to be a dangerous 3-day digging operation, but instead, here's a quote from Smokey's owner Bill Wynne telling the story on NBC after the war. "I tied a string, tied to the wire, to Smokey's collar, and ran to the other end of the culvert," which is the pipe. "Smokey made a few steps in, and then ran back. 'Come, Smokey,' I said sharply, and she started through again. When she was about 10 feet in, the string caught up and she looked over her shoulder as much to say, 'What's holding up there?' The string loosened from the snag and she came on again. But now the dust was rising from the shuffle of her paws and she crawled through the dirt and mold and I could no longer see her. I called and pleaded, not knowing for certain whether she was coming out or not. At last, about 20 feet away, I saw 2 little amber eyes and heard a faint whimpering sound. At 15 feet away, she broke into a run. We were so happy at Smokey's success that we patted and praised her for 5 full minutes." So this was only the beginning for Smokey.
Jeez.
After the war, Smokey toured hospitals across the Pacific and the U.S. to give company to wounded veterans. This is the first recorded instance of a therapy dog.
Okay. Interesting.
Bill Wynn and Smokey also got on a lot of TV shows, performing tricks and telling their story. And I wonder if this also helped spread the word about therapy dogs to a mass audience.
It's possible.
I'm not sure what they talked about in most of the interviews, but I'm sure it came up and started to spread the idea some way. So just to recap, Smokey was 4 pounds, 7 inches tall, a war hero, and started a new form of therapy. That'll do, dog. That'll do. So now, in 1984, a Yorkie named Schnieflocken von Freitag was born in Germany. Well, how would you say Schnieflocken von Freitag?
I was just reacting to how many syllables were in the name.
Yes, Yorkie born in Germany with unique markings of blue, white, and gold. The breeders, Werner and Gertrude Buer, decided to make their puppy the start of a new breed. Originally called the German Yorkshire Terrier, the breed became known as the Buer Terrier, and the AKC recognized the breed in 2021.
They're very cute.
Oh, yeah. I like those. Similar to Yorkies. Mm-hmm. And they're already the 82nd most registered breed.
Jeez.
So, yeah, they're
climbing the ranks.
Yeah, pretty quickly. As for Yorkies, they've been one of the most popular breeds for generations now, and sit at number 13 in the AKC's list.
Okay, that's pretty respectable. I figured they would be top 5, personally, but that makes sense.
So that's all there is for the history of the Yorkie.
Pretty valiant history, I have to say. Lots of twists and turns there.
Definitely. Yeah, very, very cool breed.
Definitely.
Let's get into what it takes to own a Yorkie, according to the AKC. Yorkshires are generally healthy dogs. And, responsible breeders check for conditions such as eye anomalies and luxating patella, dislocated kneecap, called a trick knee, humans. And to help avoid the latter, care should be taken to limit Yorkie's jumping height, especially as a puppy.
Mm.
And something else I found, they've been classified as moderate brachycephalic.
Okay.
Maybe not as severe as pugs or bulldogs, but
sure,
still have breathing troubles.
Mm.
For grooming, the Yorkshire Terrier's coat is very similar to human hair and should be treated accordingly. I don't know if that means just use like your Tresemme, but probably not.
don't use Tresemme. There's probably shampoos meant specifically for this texture of fur, dog hair.
Yep. If the coat is kept long, it needs to be brushed daily. And to avoid eye irritation, the hair in the upper part of the head should be trimmed short or pulled into a top knot with a nice bow.
Yeah.
The Yorkie will need a bath every week or so, and check the ears weekly for any debris or signs of infection. And the breed's national parent club, the Yorkshire Terrier Club of America, provides detailed grooming and bathing instructions on its website.
That's handy.
Oh, yeah. It's always a good source. Individual breed clubs as well. It's good to check out for any breed.
Definitely.
So it's important to remember Yorkies still need exercise to stay healthy, despite being so small. Still got to remember for mental and physical needs.
Right.
Run around like any dog. Yorkies will benefit from both moderate exercise, like walks, or short bursts of, more intense exercise, like fetch stuff, just playing in the yard. Like a short walk twice a day will likely be enough for your Yorkie to burn off the energy it needs.
Perfect. I mean, they're so compact. There's no way that they required that much exercise.
But, if they're barking up a storm or whatever, annoying people in the house, maybe just increase their exercise, probably a good idea.
Yeah,
play with them more.
A little bit, yeah.
Any kind of attention, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And participating in dog sports, such as obedience or agility, will provide beneficial activity to keep them healthy as well, and challenging their minds, too.
Nice.
So as for training, Yorkies love their owners and are very intelligent and eager to please. Offering effusive praise and treats for good behavior will work far better than harsh corrections. Starting from an early age, the Yorkie should be socialized to strange situations. People and other dogs.
What? Wait, is that actually what it says?
Starting from an early age, the Yorkie should be socialized to strange situations.
What does that even mean?
It's such a small dog.
I guess. Strange situations.
Take it to the circus.
Yeah, I don't know. Give it a little mini trapeze set to
show
test its agility.
Show it Stranger Things.
This says it's called Stranger Things. It should prepare our Yorkie for all the Stranger Things.
Take it to Portland.
Take it to Boulder.
So yes, strange situations, people, and other dogs. But yeah, socializing to people and other dogs is, you know, I think it has to do with just being such a small dog and reminding not to like carry them around all the time.
Yeah.
Let them get used to the world on their own.
Sure. Like learn how to navigate from such a low point of stature.
Yeah.
Sort of. Yeah.
Take them into new situations slowly and always in a calm and happy atmosphere. These should be positive experiences. So I don't know. I've never been to Portland, but despite their small size, Yorkies can participate in and excel at canine activities such as rally, agility, and obedience. And many Yorkies serve with their human partners in roles such as therapy work. Mm-hmm. Thanks to Smokey and Bill Wynn.
Yes.
And that's all I got on Yorkies.
Honestly, I am kind of sold on this breed. They do seem like a very, like, you know, nice little dog to have. It's just the thing of they can only be like, what, 7 pounds? Like, yeah. That's so impossibly small to me. I don't know. That's just me.
Well, we got a small apartment.
Yeah, but it's like having a gerbil. Like,
or a Pomeranian.
Pomeranians have fluff. They have at least some kind of like, oh, there is a dog here because there's a big poof ball walking around.
Give a Yorkie a perm.
Oh, my God.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. Please don't do that. I mean, they are very
cute.
It's just
like human hair.
I'm not going to say they're not cute, but they are. I mean, they are extremely cute. But I don't know. I guess for me, I would be so worried that if we had other dogs, too, with a little Yorkie, that there would just be like turf wars. Hmm. And the Yorkie is at a disadvantage because of its size.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it just says you know, if you socialize them at a young age with other dogs.
I suppose. I mean, I worry more about other people's dogs than I would my own dogs.
Oh,
I suppose.
But any small dog often has issues with other dogs.
Yeah.
Not always.
But. Yeah. Well, either way, I do like this breed. I'll definitely keep it as, you know, something to keep in mind if we, you know, ever have, if we move to like a different place that's not that big.
If we ever need to run a wire 70 feet through a small pipe.
Through a small pipe. That may be filled with dirt and silt, but that's crazy.
It's the dog for the job.
Reinvent therapy with the dog. I don't know. It's funny to me that no one thought of that before.
Well, it's, you know, first recorded instance. So
I suppose.
Sure. In many ways, a lot of people's, you know, individual dogs were therapy dogs for them.
Sure. And it probably wasn't called therapy dogs at that point, too. It was probably called something else, like hospice care dogs.
Yeah, mid-20th century is, you know, the time when we started taking PTSD more seriously.
Right. So. Or just any kind of mental health.
Oh, yeah.
Anything. Well, nice. Well, it is time now for boop-a-da-boop-a-boop dog news.
All right.
So, today's story comes from CNN Travel. I found this, and it is, I think it's from Minneapolis. Screening dog at Minneapolis St. Paul Airport wins the TSA's cutest canine contest.
Aw.
So, this is, what's his name? His name's Ebers, and he is a Vizsla Labrador mixed dog. Oh. Wow. And the article says here that 92 dogs were submitted for the TSA's cutest screen dog contest, and Ebers won.
Can't believe Beagle didn't get it. They're always cute at the airport.
See, I'm gonna admit to you, the picture was just the face, and at first I thought it was a Beagle. And I clicked on it. This is also the only, like, happy news story about dogs. Lately, there's been a lot of, like, shelters that have had done bad things. But
yeah,
either way,
it can be hard to find
positive
stories.
Ebers, an 11-year-old Vizsla Lab mix, is a passenger screening male canine who works at the Minneapolis St. Paul Airport alongside his handler, and they screen travelers and their belongings. He has worked at that airport for nearly 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And he was the last remaining canine puppy born into the TSA's puppy program.
Did he ever find anything?
It didn't say. He also has assisted for security for 2 Super Bowls, the Special Olympics World Games, the NCAA National Championship Football Game, and the Indy 500.
Wow.
And a separate NASCAR event. So he's like a pretty celebrated security dog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But either way, that's pretty cool for Ebers. So if he still works at the Minneapolis. This was just published a couple of days ago. But if you're in the Minneapolis St. Paul Airport and you're getting screened by a Vizsla Lab mix. So it's like a gold, like kind of like a little yellow lab almost.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Giant eyes.
Mm-hmm. And the nose.
Yeah. It's interesting. These dogs can have such long, varied careers.
Very much so. But I feel like for dogs, especially these dogs, it's very rewarding for them to be occupied, you know, doing something. And if they catch something, they're praised heavily for it. So like,
yeah, definitely.
But at the same time,
they have to do the fake finding things.
Yeah.
So they get discouraged.
I remember when we talk about this in the last episode when you and I were at the airport to go to, no, we didn't talk about this. When you and I were at the airport to go to Massachusetts, they had a Dalmatian and they had like another dog.
Yeah, there were like dogs.
Or it was a pointer.
It
was a pointer and a German Shepherd. And we got there, and like the German Shepherd was cool. I was like, can we have the pointer? Like, can we have the pointer's break end early? No, it is. I always like, actually at Midway, you have to go through a dog screening section now. Like that's part of TSA.
Yeah.
So you do get to see a dog a lot more at the airports. But I think at O'Hare they have it now too.
Right.
There, it's, you know what, though? I appreciate that they do it with dog breeds that are charming looking and not necessarily mean looking, you know? Like, German Shepherds are very regal looking to me. Like, they're very efficient, but...
Yeah, but traditionally they're considered one of the meanest looking dogs, probably.
I suppose, but I did read in an article that there was an idea by some officials to try and utilize more friendly looking dogs at airports, like beagles and labs and, you know, pointers, you know, just whatever they have. But if maybe they'll have a Yorkie.
Maybe.
If he's not moderately brachycephalic.
He's crawling through the vents.
Okay, we need to detain you. Anyways, well, that's my boop-a-da-boop dog news for the week. Congratulations to Ebers, the Vizsla Lab 11-year-old who won TSA's cutest dog contest.
Congrats on a long career.
Mm-hmm. That too, yeah.
Still being so cute in 11.
Mm-hmm. Just sniffing people's stuff, trying to catch the bad guys. But anyways, well, that's my dog news segment for you.
Awesome.
So anything else?
No, that's probably all we have for you this week.
Yeah. Well, we're back on track with scheduling now for doing episodes. So we'll be back next week and I'll get to do another breed, which will be fun to do. And
Who requested this episode? Do you remember?
Yorkies was... I believe my dad.
Oh, nice.
No. Somebody. No. Yorkies, you were supposed to do these last season, but then you did a special episode instead.
Well, yeah, but then I thought someone requested them too. So
No one requested Yorkies.
Well, okay then. Well, I wanted to, you know.
The world requested Yorkies.
The Patreon remind people that, you know, we'll do episodes. On the request.
Yeah. And honestly, that was just the idea for this season. But if you have breeds you want us to cover, I mean, just submit it to us on Patreon, or you can email us at the links in the description. But either way, we thank you so much, everyone, for joining in this week's episode of We're Getting a Dog. If you want to check out our Patreon, all that information is below in the links. And all the photos and stuff and videos from this episode are also down there as well, if you want to take a look at those. Dylan, do you have anything to add besides your sign out before we are done?
No.
All right. Well, take it away.
Remember to help your local shelters any way you can, whether that's donating, volunteering, fostering, or adopting, and help control the pet population. Have your pets spayed or neutered.
Thanks for listening.
Wesley Van Hoosen and Dylan Naylor are not pet professionals. Any advice regarding pet ownership and the responsibilities thereof taken from this program should be checked with your veterinarian. All episodes are researched thoroughly, fact-checked, and additionally researched during post-production. Annotated bibliographies of every episode can be found at weregettingadog.com/bibliographies. This podcast is hosted by Dylan Naylor and Wesley Van Hoosen. If you'd like to reach out or submit a photo of your dog to be featured on our social media, please contact us at WGAD@ArcadiaPodcastNetwork.com or on our Instagram @WeGettingADog. Thank you for listening to We're Getting a Dog from the Arcadia Podcast Network.